Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy, sports, and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes, yes, yes. It's that time again. It's the FSP Crew Show. And you know who this is. I'm the host, the master of this crew. But we all take a turn in doing our own thing and being the man. Along with me is Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie. And as always, we engage in conversation and give you information about the crazy, absolutely wacky world of fantasy, sports, and you know politics is wacky. And it's getting wackier by the minute. You know what? Maybe in a week or two, maybe three after the NFL draft, I think I'm going to do a show on politics. I think I want to go and delve into that a little bit to just put our toe in it and see what happens. But now we're talking about sports. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again. It's 347-637-3220. We also have a chat room. The Joker is in there right now. I'm looking at it. If you got something to say, a statement, comment, question, whatever, bring it to the chat room if you don't want to talk on air with it, and we'll bring it to light. Let's bring in my two co-hosts. Doesn't make a difference who chimes in first. Just say hello, folks, and let's get this going. Say hello, guys, and let's get this going.
Hello, guys. Let's get this going.
Hello. Feeling a little bit sick today, a little bit under the weather. But I've just realized that my diagnosis is Nat's fever.
Oh, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, 5-2 out the gate. How about your Washington Nationals?
For those who don't know, and I'll enlighten you, Jeff knows already. I sure enough know because he lets me know. Black the Bookie is a Washington Nationals fan, a diehard fan, Washington Nationals for life. I don't know how else to say it. He's got a man crush on Steven Strasburg, and I think the secondary man crush is Mr. Stamen, who was a guest on his show months back. I'm going to give him his 15 minutes of fame, just like I told him off air. He said a little bit. I know he's got more to say. Run down your Nationals. Bring it out now, Black.
Well, first off, don't misinform the people here. There are no man crushes going on this side over here. I will show love to my guy, Steven Strasburg. I will also show love to my guy, former guest of this show, the FSP Crew Show, Craig Stanley, who got us the win today. Unfortunately, Brad Lidge, he came in, made a boo-boo, let Cincinnati get two runs while he was in there doing his work. But before we got to the show, Craig Stanley, a big shout-out, man. Got the win for us today. We're 5-2. We had a trip up to New York a couple of days ago with the Masters team, the Mets.
Wore us out. Especially Mr. Strasburg wore us out.
Took care of business, if you hear the master speaking. We took care of business in New York. Back home now for the opening day. Great, exciting win for the fans in Washington. Extra innings. Couldn't ask more opening day for the Washington Nationals. I'm telling you, if you're in Las Vegas right now, go ahead and put a dollar down on the Nationals. World Series bound and shit.
Oh, my God. Boy, he has jumped on the bandwagon with both feet. With both feet. Can you deal with that, Jeff? Can you smell what the Black the Bookie is cooking?
Hope springs eternal in baseball. And what they play 7 games so far. They got 155 left. It's nice to get off to a good start because everybody can see your record, but baseball's a marathon, not a sprint. But it's good for the Nationals to get off to a start because it gives the fans a little something to get excited about, you know.
Yeah, well, I must admit, Washington National fans are pretty intense and rabid fans and loyal fans to their team, especially with the type of team that they're putting on the field now with pitchers and everyday players. There's a big buzz in the D.C. area and around the D.C. area about whoever the Washington National fan that bright things are happening in this season. We'll just wait and see what happens, hopefully, which is the key, is the pitchers stay healthy. Especially Mr. Strasburg and Mr. Stamen. That's definitely two keys that they need to get to the World Series, like Black says.
Well, yeah, we gotta get Morris back. We gotta get a couple of bats back healthy. Once Morris gets back, could get a call up for Bryce Harper. You never know, man.
David Johnson
is doing an excellent job. I gotta salute my captain, David Johnson, right now.
Well, I must admit, he was in Baltimore. And he was with the Mets for a while, and he did bring the Mets to a world championship, if you remember that, Mr. Bookie. He's the one that orchestrated them to some championships. So you do have a good manager there. He can relate to the players of this age compared to the ones he had in the 80s, and that's a big difference. David Johnson is a very good manager of people and a field manager also. So the only thing I worry about I think with one little knock on him and it could be good, it could be bad, is managing the pitching staff. So hopefully he's learned a few things about that. He took a few knocks in New York when he was here, even though he won some championships. About managing the pitching staff. But the key is for them to stay healthy, and I think they're going to be keeping an eye on their ace, Strasburg, innings. They're going to limit him, I think. They're not. I think he pitched like over 100 pitches.
Yeah, got up to 107, 108 the first time. He's been like that since the injury. They're treating him like an everyday player now. Treating him like he's back in the regular rotation.
Yeah, I don't think
Strasburg is showing no signs of fatigue. He looks strong. We're doing big things, man. Doing big things.
Oh boy. Yeah, I can see you puffing out your chest. You are feeling. you are feeling it. You are feeling it. Oh man, baseball is in the air and Black smells World Series. Hear that? Black smells World Series. Anyway, what I also wanted to talk about, the Boston Red Sox are not off to a good start, and that doesn't bode well for Mr. Valentine, who's supposed to be, I wouldn't say the savior, but who was supposed to be the cure-all for the former coach. Trying to get the locker room in order. Mr. Valentine, you got problems. Your pitching staff and your hitters, are especially your relievers, are not really doing the job. And there could be trouble brewing if things don't get turned around shortly. Jeff, you're on the East Coast just like I am, up in Jersey, which I mean in the Northeast versus where Black is. What do you think about the trouble and woes of Mr. Valentine right now?
Well, I'm not surprised. I actually like Bobby, but he's one of these guys. He's not going to walk on eggshells or whatever, and he's a straight shooter. And you have a lot of established veteran players in Boston, and they're not used to that environment. They're used to a more lax environment. But Bobby doesn't care. That's why I like him, you know. And he rubs a lot of people the wrong way. But one of the reasons I like him is because he's smart and he's a straight shooter. And, you know, all they got to do is win a few ball games and they'll quit hearing about it. I'm just curious of, you know, ownership, how committed they are to Bobby. If they don't get off the schneid, what's going to happen? You want to talk about managers, maybe we can get into this later. Ozzie Guillen, that guy really messed up.
I was going to jump into that when you said about rubbing people the wrong way. That's exactly what I was going to jump into.
That guy really, put his foot in his mouth.
Mr. Ozzie Guillen. Now, I had talked about something.
Hail Fidel.
I had talked to something on the Sunday show about Warren Sapp, that you're getting Warren Sapp, you should know what you're getting, meaning that Warren Sapp is one way. You know what you're going to get with Warren Sapp, or you know what you're going to get with Ozzie Guillen. I mean, what did you expect? Ozzie Guillen he walks around with foot in mouth. That's just Ozzie. He never thinks about what he says. All he does is he's got diarrhea of the mouth, and he runs off with the mouth, and then he's got to backtrack after he's made a horrendous or a dumb statement. He did it in Chicago, and it didn't take him long to do it in Miami, and Miamians are up in arms about him. They want him canned, and he's got a 5-game suspension about praising Fidel Castro. You know the Cubans down in Miami are not happy with that, and they're calling for his head. I don't know if he's going to last the whole year. Hopefully he doesn't run off with the mouth again. But Ozzie Guillen, what were you expecting that you were getting when you hired him? That's just Ozzie Guillen. You're going to have to deal with some of those things. I don't know what to say. Jeff, help me out here.
You know, the big sports stories this week were what I refer to as the Three Stooges. You got Ozzie, who got about as much sense as Ozzy Osbourne.
Right.
You got Bobby the Weasel Petrino. And I don't know if you remember, last week I predicted they were going to can him, because I said this thing is getting bigger and it's not going away. And
yes, you did.
I'm no psychic. I just, you know, sometimes you just get a gut feeling, you know.
Right.
And that was pretty clear. And then you got Greg the Hammer Williams, banned indefinitely, the defensive coordinator of the Saints. So that was the Three Stooges this week, were those three guys, and they kind of dominated the news. So
I don't know if you've got anything to say about any of those subjects, Black, but feel free if you do. Feel free.
Hey, how's he getting still employed in Miami, of all places? I think they're going to start boycotting games when he gets back. I don't know what he was thinking of. I don't even think he was thinking. But they're definitely going to be boycotting some games when he gets back.
What? Ozzie doesn't. He's done this in Chicago. He's apologized for saying stupid things in Chicago. So this is nothing new. This is not groundbreaking statements that Ozzie Guillen's made. He's made similar statements before. So I don't know. I mean, he's a good baseball manager. He is a good baseball. I got to give him some of that. He's a very good baseball manager, but he's got some fatal flaws. and those fatal flaws can cause him to lose his job. They gave him a lot of problems in Chicago, and now right off the bat, early in the season, I mean, 4 or 5 games into the season, and I mean, the season just started. It's in its infancy, and he decides to say something stupid, which is, you know what? That's it. Time out. I've had it. I ain't going to talk about him no more. I've had it. Anyway, this other thing I want to talk about, it's out of baseball. We're moving from baseball into one of my favorite sports. One of my favorite sports is women's basketball. And I hate to say it, but Kim Mulkey, head coach of the women's basketball champion Baylor's Baylor's championship game. I mean, team. You know, I'm reading this article, and they have had some penalties put on them, or self-imposed penalties. I'm gonna read this article. Let's see. And it's got to do with, wow, this is a pretty long article. I don't know if I can read this whole thing. I'm gonna read some of it, and then we'll go from there. This is out of Waco, Texas. This is from ESPN, an article on college sports and ESPN dealing with NCAA accepts Baylor's penalties. So these are basically self-imposed penalties. The NCAA put Baylor on 3 years of probation Wednesday after an investigation turned up hundreds of impermissible telephone calls and text messages sent to prep recruits by coaches and assistants on the basketball teams. That means not just the women's team, that means the men's team also. The violations were considered to be major infractions, and they were announced less than a week after the Lady Bears won the national championship with a 40-0 season in first in NCAA history. Still, it could have been much worse for Baylor. All of the penalties were proposed by the school and accepted by the NCAA after a review of nearly 900,000 phone and text message records found that 738 texts and 528 calls were against the rules. 900,000 phone and text messages, and you only get that fraction of that. Well, I guess one is too much. What can I say? The NCAA said men's coach Scott Drew failed to monitor his program and will be suspended for 2 Big 12 games next season. In addition to recruiting restrictions, women's coach Kim Mulkey also received recruiting restrictions. Mulkey, and I quote, "I believe strongly in following NCAA rules and will always try to do so in the future. I do nothing without permission from our compliance office and will continue to ask questions to assure that things are done right. Any compliance-related mistakes, even those that are secondary, are disappointing. The majority of the mistakes in this matter were errors in sending text messages and failure to accurately document our phone calls." Men's assistant coach Paul Mills and Jerome Tang, were also named in the report, along with women's assistant coach Damian McKinney. These are the self-imposed penalties. Mulkey, whose 2011-2000 squad went 40-0 and won the NCAA title, will be prohibited from recruiting off campus for the entire summer recruiting period, which is July 1st to the 31st. The women's basketball program lost 2 of its 15 scholarships in 2011-2012. McKinney hasn't been allowed to make recruiting calls to prospective students, athletes, since January 1st, but the ban will be lifted on May 1st. The men's program lost 1 scholarship for both the 2011-2012 and 2012-2013 seasons. Drew will be suspended for the first 2 Big 12 games of the season, like I said before, and Drew and Tang were prohibited from making recruiting calls from January 1st to February 29th of this year. So that's passed already. The maximum number of official visits allowed to the men's basketball team in 2012-2013 was reduced from 12 to 7. Now, that's a nice hit. Baylor will have no more additional penalties other than those that it's self-imposed. Okay. What do you guys think about the penalties that they
It sounds like they were on the Bobby Petrino text and call plan down there. Wow, but the smart thing that Baylor did, though, the smart thing is they looked into the allegations themselves and they imposed penalties on their own program. The NCAA loves when you do that. It won't come down as harsh as you as it will, but not being able to recruit, that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. It helps that you won the national championship, but that's going to be tough. You got Gino R.E.M. out there. You still got Pat Summitt. Heavy recruit. Heavy recruit for the game.
What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, I knew about the investigation. I wasn't aware the penalties were as strict. I guess they were relatively minor, but there were a lot of them. But, yeah, you look at the two teams to get hit hard the past couple of years, Ohio State football, USC football, they got harsh penalties. It wasn't for violating the rules. It was for violating the NCAA. And at least these rules about contacting recruits are legit, because the NCAA has some silly rules they got to get rid of. Like, they have rules about cream cheese. I'm not joking. Did I ever tell you about the NCAA cream cheese rules?
No. Enlighten me.
Okay. This is the kind of organization they run, that they're allowed to serve snacks to the families of their players, I guess, you know, at games, that type of thing. But they have strict rules of what they can and can't serve. They can serve bagels, but no cream cheese.
Why?
Because I guess that's more of a meal than a snack. But they can, and I think they have, written people up for a minor violation for cream cheese. I don't know about you, but I love Tempe. Tempe is the best, you know. I'm telling you could Google this. You could look it up. And to me, you know, any organization that's against cream cheese, I want nothing to do with, you know. Ask anybody. You know, not only do I like cream cheese, I'm not stingy with it either, you know.
We're talking about cream cheese?
That's
cream
right.
Cheese? Oh, you got to be kidding me. I should say nothing surprises me. It is what it is. I just had to bring that up. We had talked about it off air just before we went on air, and I had looked it up to see what it was, and they did have some penalties that they, like I said, self-imposed themselves. So I thought I'd bring that to light. All right. We've hit that. We've hit some baseball and made Black's Day a little happier, talking about his Nationals. We've touched on the NCAA, and I thought it was news because it was happened to affect the 40-0, first time in history, 40-0 women's basketball team who happened to be the NCAA champion, and their program, men's and women's, who are both strong programs, have got some hits taken put on them now. I thought that was a little bit of news. Now let's move on to.
Don't forget about National Signing Day, which took place yesterday. Number one recruit in the basketball class in 2012, Shabazz Muhammad, committed to UCLA. And the number two recruit, who I was desperately hoping he would come out with the big G cutting the back of his head, but he didn't. So, Georgetown, you take a loss there. Nerlens Noel commit to the champion, Kentucky.
Both of them. Both of them went to Kentucky? Is that what you're telling me?
No. Shabazz Muhammad committed to UCLA. 6'6", can play in the NBA tomorrow if he wanted to, but he committed to UCLA and Nerlens Noel, 6'10", blocking machine.
Okay.
Going to Kentucky.
Okay. All right. Wow. So Kentucky continues to roll along with some big time players, and the coach can coach these big time players in John Palikari. So we'll see what happens. I mean, they keep it's just like a conveyor belt. New ones come in, the ones that are in go out 1 or 2 years and into the NBA or try to get into the NBA. And John Calipari still keeps bringing out a high caliber team year after year. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, there was another thing, and getting away from that's best college basketball. Let's get into the NBA, because I don't know what got into his head, but he's retracted it since then. I'm talking about Dwayne Wade. I don't know if anybody heard this about Dwayne Wade, but Dwayne Wade, you know, it boggles my mind how these guys get paid millions of dollars. And I shouldn't say boggles my mind, because just because you make millions don't mean you're bright. So it don't mean when you say dumb things, you can be excused for it because you make millions of dollars. Dwayne Wade, now I don't know if one of you guys agrees with him or not, decided to come out and says, if we play in the Olympics, we should get paid. Come on, Dwayne. Come on. I understand you're professional players, and it's been a short minute. I know it's been for a while, but it's been really a short minute in relation to the Olympics that professional players play on a basketball team. Now you're saying, I feel we should get paid. But he retracted it and says, wait a minute. He says, I want no pay for playing in the Olympics. So somewhere, he must have caught some heat. And I'm not talking about Miami Heat. He must have caught some heat from somewhere and says, you know what? That was a dumb thing for me to say. Time out. I didn't mean it. Do over. Anybody got any comments on that? I go to Black first and then Jeff.
No, you knew Dwayne was going to retract that as soon as he said it. It was too much heat going to be put on him. I mean, this is the Olympics. It's an honor to play for your country. Now, you know guys are giving him the business about that, so I'm glad he came out and retracted that. But I don't think that was the biggest story in the NBA this week. As I don't know if you guys watch ESPN's First Take, but I find the feud kind of funny between Skip Bayless and Jalen Rose.
Really? Okay.
You did not catch wind of this?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
there's some friction there. There's some heat. Yeah, they got a feud going on.
For 2 or 3 days.
Really? Well, enlighten me, because I'm trying to get this thing up here, and hopefully if I able to download it, maybe I have a clip. Let me just so one of you, whoever wants to start, can enlighten me about it.
Take it.
Well,
Black.
Apparently Skip Bayless sent out a tweet a couple of weeks ago talking about a team that he played for way back in his era, and that he was the MVP of some summer league, some summer camp. This validates him to be a valid NBA analyst. And Jalen Rose called him on that, saying that he only averaged 1.4 points per game in his senior year, and that he didn't even play when he was a junior. He played junior varsity when he was a junior in high school. So Skip took offense to that, and then it got into a whole big thing of back and forth of whether Skip can criticize guys, and when guys criticize Skip, he gets into his feelings. He brings in his boy, Stephen A. Smith. You have to watch the videotape of this to get a full understanding. I need you to bring it up. If you don't have it, I'll forward you the video so you can see it. But this thing dragged on for 2 days. I don't know if it was anything about it today, but it definitely was fun. Definitely was fun.
Really?
And Skip has lost some credibility here.
Say that again?
He's lost some credibility.
No kidding. What do you got to say about that?
Yeah, there's just been a big heated debate. It's you know, when it comes to analysts and commentators, you have the ex-jocks, and I guess usually that means you made it in the pros, as opposed to the non-ex-jocks. You know, so you got Bayless, who was MVP of his Pee Wee League. But, I mean, he's not known to be a jock, but Stephen A. Smith played college ball. I mean, he didn't play in the pros. I don't think he was great in college, but he did play some college ball. But I've even heard sometimes there's a rift between the retired players, the stars versus the non-stars. And that guy, Sean Salisbury, he had a bug up his rear end. He thought his career wasn't going well because he wasn't a star player. No, it was because he's a lousy analyst. But he just had that personal agenda. So there's been a lot of heated debate the past few days on ESPN. They should take it into the ring.
Just like speaking of that, I heard that the owner of the Nets wants to take on the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. Did you hear about that?
That Russian guy is pretty big. I mean, I think Cuban works out, but I don't know. I wouldn't mess with that the Nets owner. He looks pretty big.
I don't know if you heard about that, Black. Did you?
No, I didn't hear about that. They won the scrap. Is it Cuban and Pokerov?
I think Pokerov is a I don't say he's a martial arts. He's good in martial arts, but supposedly he knows his stuff around the martial arts type of thing, and he wants to take on Mark Cuban. So,
but I'll tell you, speaking of Cuban, I think this is a sad story this week in the NBA, is the Lamar Odom situation, about him basically, you know, quitting on his team, and I don't like it. I mean, you know, people are making some excuses for him. He didn't want to get traded. I think he had a death in the family or two, unfortunately. But the fact is, he's a grown man. He's got mouths to feed. I mean, I know he's got a celebrity wife. I'm sure he has other mouths to feed. You know, his family. I don't know if he has any children, but I'm sure he's got family he's taking care of. You know what? Even when you're miserable, you still got to show up to a job and go through the motions at least. I mean, I don't get it. And if he's going to land on another NBA team, I heard Golden State is interested. But if I was running an NBA team, and that's a big if, I wouldn't want a guy like that. I want a pro. You know what I mean? Even when things are going lousy, they're going to go through the motions at least.
What do you think about that, Black? I got my opinion about Lamar.
You know, I've never liked the Candyman ever since he left Rhode Island. Never lived up to his potential to me.
Now there's a player, just like Chris Bosh, and just like what I think of
outstanding in Rhode Island, mind you.
Just like I think about the Queen of Hearts, LeBron James. My man, you ain't got no heart. You are a soft. You're probably one of the softest big men I know in the game. I think you're one of those spoiled athletes that can't get his way and pouts and wants to take his ball and go home. He didn't have his own way. He wanted to stay in Hollywood. He's one of them Hollywood type of guys. Want to stay in Hollywood with the Lakers. And as soon as they shipped him off because he was so soft, he was some tiny player. Sometimes he would play well. A lot of times you never knew he was there. And with the height and the skills that he has, he should have been dominating any time he's in the game. But he's just one of them soft big men. He's got no heart. I think he married into the right family. They control his ass from start to finish. He cuddle up in between those two breasts of his wife and suck his thumb in a fetal position, because that's what you need to be, man. You need to be a baby, because that's what you're appearing and looking like. I said it, and I mean it, because it's obvious that you may be physically and chronologically a grown-ass man, but mentally you are a young boy. Let me put it that way. I can't say it any plainer than that. That's how I feel about him. I never really liked the guy, because he had a ton of talent, and it's just a waste. Unbelievable. It's obvious when he wants to play, and you see the best out of Lamar Odom, that's what you should see every single night. And you only see it sometimes. You never see it when you need it the most.
But Lamar Odom should have been Kevin Durant before Kevin Durant.
Absolutely.
That's the type of talent he came out with from Rhode Island.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, he got paid, and maybe he got a little whipped. You know what I'm talking about, Black? Maybe he got a little whipped. Who knows? Let me put it that way. He's playing like a guy that's got whipped. Let me put it that way. He's acting like a guy that's got whipped. And I'm not afraid to say it. You sent me this clip. I downloaded it onto the site. I'm waiting for it to load on, because I want to.
Oh, it's a long, long clip. I think it's about 23, 24 minutes.
No. I got one that's only like 38 seconds, but I haven't heard it. I can't play it and listen to it. We can't listen to it until until it's downloaded, and hopefully it gets downloaded before. Oh, hold on. Let me see. I think we got it now. It's a 37-second clip. Maybe this is where he really rips him for a short time. I got a clip about Skip Bayless and Jalen Rose confronting Skip Bayless. Let's play this and see what we got.
Make you physical. Just because you're a shooting guard, that don't mean you can jack up threes.
What were you, Jalen?
Did you average 1.4 points as a senior in high school?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so all of that Pistol Pete stuff, water Pistol Pete junior.
Okay, we'll address that later.
Don't ignore that. Did you play junior?
Yeah.
You play JV as a junior?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I followed
you. What were you? What was your position?
I had no position. I have.
You
no
were a point guard.
I have no game.
You were a point guard.
I have no
game. Well, is that more for the fans? Do you think?
That's just a little snippet. When I get off air, and I may get the whole thing and play it for Sunday.
Definitely check it out. You have to hear the fallout from that.
I haven't heard it. I caught wind of it, but I've been so busy, I haven't got a chance to sit down and listen to something like this. I didn't know it was a running feud for a couple of days, but nothing surprises me anymore. Everybody's calling each other out, and there's too much information out there not to be on the up and up, because you're going to get called out, and you're going to get the things thrown in your face that you don't want in your face. So I mean, it's best.
And when you watch that, the first 6 minutes, Skip is just rambling on about being a bum, and I need you to look at Jalen Rose's face the whole first 6 minutes. Classic.
Okay, I have the bunch of clips here. I even have one. Stephen A's in it. I see three.
Yeah,
three
don't
faces.
Worry about the clips. Watch the full 23 minutes.
Okay, 23 looks like 23 minutes and 41 seconds. I think that's the.
Well, if you get a chance, check that out. And
okay.
Remember, Jalen Rose's face the first 6 minutes. Why does Skip explain that he's basically a bump?
Okay. Well, folks, you know, there's always some controversy on First Take, especially with Skip Bayless. And Jalen Rose is one of those talking heads that is not afraid to speak his mind, to let you know what the straight scoop. Sometimes you may not like what he says, but just like Warren Sapp, he keeps it real. So we'll see what happens. Tune in on Sunday, because I'm going to play the whole clip on Sunday. Let me put it that way. I'm going to play, if no one's heard this clip, I'm going to play the whole thing on Sunday. It's going to take up a lot of my show, but I don't care. I'm going to play it on Sunday to let the audience on Sunday hear it, for those who haven't. Anyway, we've talked about Major League Baseball starting off with the Nationals. We talked a little bit of NBA. We talked a little bit of college basketball. Guys signing their letter of intent or telling them, I'm going here. I'm going to UCLA. I'm going to University of Kentucky. We talked about one analyst or commentator being called out by another. I'm waiting for the match to be shown on the MGM Grand as the headliner boxing match between Skip Bayless and Jalen Rose. I'm waiting for that to happen.
I take Jalen in 3 seconds.
Let me see what else I see here before I move on. I know, and I can't think of what the penalties were, but I think they appealed it, and the appeal was denied. I'm talking about the University of Connecticut. They got some penalties on them for their transgressions in the basketball team. Anybody know about that, Black or Jeff?
Yeah, no tournament for the 2013 is definitely going to hurt recruiting. I think they lose 2 scholarships as well.
Wow.
You gotta live up to the NCAA standards, man. You can't skirt the NCAA. They will catch you and they will penalize you. UConn should have known this. I don't know. I think they felt they were bigger than the NCAA. No one is bigger than the NCAA. No 2013 tournament action for the UConn Huskies.
Okay.
And speaking of guys getting their appeals denied, what did you think Deshaun Payton, what did he think he was going to do? His appeal also denied.
You guys must be reading my mind, because
I mean, you appeal to the guy who put you out. Where does that make any sense?
You guys must be reading my mind. Jeff brought it out about the other subject. Now I'm bringing out the same thing that I was going to jump into next about the appeal process, and I was talking about the New Orleans Saints. Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis and Joe Vitt, I think all three of them try to appeal and get their sentences, so-called sentences, reduced. Ain't happening. Joe Vitt, you still got 6 games. Mickey Loomis, you still got 8 games. Sean Payton, you out for the year.
The magic question right now is who will coach the first 6 games, because Joe Vitt has been confirmed to be the coach for the last 10 games.
Well, that's still up in the air. It could be the offensive coordinator, or it could be Steve Spagnuolo, or it could be a combination of the two until game 7 when Joe Vitt comes back. So,
and thank you, Bill Parcells, for taking my advice. Way to keep your head out of that mess.
Yes, yes. I was going to say that too. That Bill Parcells decided that he's 70-something years old, and
Hall of Fame is much bigger.
Is retired and he wants to stay retired. He doesn't want to deal with the pressures of being a head coach and all the time put into that. So he's enjoying what he's doing now, and he doesn't want to jump back into that anymore. So, and speaking of the NFL, this is another thing that, you know, this is an ongoing story. Regardless if he's in New York or if he got pushed out of Denver and he got pushed into New York, this is an ongoing story. I don't know if any of you heard this, but his former wide receiver, Demaryius Thomas, decided to speak up when he appeared on The Zone in Atlanta, on 790 The Zone on Atlanta, with the Two Live Stews. I know you people who've watched First Take have seen the Two Live Stews, the two brothers. One was an NFL player, the other one wasn't. He was on there, and if you thought the feelings regarding Tim Tebow's status as the savior of the Denver Broncos in the media's eyes were exactly how it was in the team's locker room, it'd be difficult for anyone to truly argue otherwise. However, wide receiver Demaryius Thomas, the other half of the 80-yard overtime touchdown pass against the Steelers in the playoffs, indicated that the internal feelings on the team's former quarterback may not have been what they were believed to be. Like I said, he appeared on a Two Live Crew show. Thomas opened up about his old quarterback and the organization's decision to trade him. This is a quote from Thomas. "It's a business decision. I ain't going to say I was sad about Tim leaving because the only thing they remember is that pass. You got to go back and look at the rest of the games. I wasn't getting no balls. You had to make some of these plays where some players were open, and he is not making the throws. But I don't want to talk bad about Tim. But, hey, I'm happy we got Peyton." Regarding the attitude in the locker room, Thomas noted there were some mixed reviews. There wasn't much talk about him, but you know, this is a quote, "but you know everything on ESPN was all about Tim. That bothered some players too because they would say Tim Tebow time. I felt like it was a team thing. If it wasn't for the defense, most of the time there wouldn't be no supposed Tim Tebow time." Finally, Thomas shared his thoughts of the Tim Tebow trade as it relates to the New York Jets. "That's what I think of it. Anyway, this is another quote. I ain't going to say it was a good move, but I really don't know. I feel like Tim can get better, but it's going to take some time because he's got to read the defenses and throwing patterns." And then it goes on, this is the last paragraph I'll read. "While Thomas wasn't completely slamming the unconventional passer, he certainly wasn't raining compliments on him either. If Thomas' comments are any type of extension of the internal feelings of the Denver Bronco players, the team may not be as distraught about the former Heisman Trophy winner's departure as some believe. The media believes it. The media hypes it up. The players, you know, some of them, especially on the defensive side, probably resented Tim Tebow a little bit. You guys got any thoughts on what I just read?"
Tebow will make you reap what you sow, boy. And you, being a former New York Jet fan, to speak on Demaryius Thomas' quote, you should be ashamed of yourself. Tebow will make you pay. I can't wait for Jets and Houston when they sweep you guys and shit.
Jeff, you got. I'm not even going to comment on that. Jeff, you got anything to say?
Speaking of the New York Jets, I'm not a Jet fan, but I live close to New York.
Neither am I, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, you know, when after Labor Day, your twin brother Jerry is going to be rooting hard for the Jets. You know, there's no rhyme or reason to being a sports fan. It's like an addiction. Supposedly, Mark Dirty Sanchez and Santonio Holmes kissed and made up, and they've been working out together. So it doesn't matter. I mean, it's, you know, that's still a three-ring circus, or maybe I should say a no-ring circus. one less distraction with those two girls kissing and making up.
Well, I don't know if you guys heard about this now. I don't follow the Jets, but I heard this because it was on NFL.
It
was on NFL Network. It was on NFL Network, and it also was on one of the websites that I follow the NFL on.
When did you stop following the Jets?
I don't follow the Jets. I'll tell you, I'm a Texan fan. Anyway, this is the deal here. The owner, Woody Johnson, and the head coach, Rex Ryan, are supposedly at odds. Woody Johnson wants the Jets supposedly to reappear on Hard Knocks, and Rex Ryan doesn't want any part of it. And so they're going back and forth. They're not bumping heads, but Woody Johnson has hinted or has said that he wouldn't mind being on Hard Knocks again, and Rex Ryan says no, don't want any part of it. So we'll see who wins out on that. I understand that the Jacksonville Jaguars are interested in being on Hard Knocks also. I'm trying to think if there was another team. I think those are the only two teams that I heard that were approached or talked about being on Hard Knocks. So it never stops, and that's one of the reasons why it never stops, and that's why I stopped being a Jet fan. This is just another thing that confirms my bad taste for the team that I had rooted for when a player from the former team of, and I hate to say it because it always brings a bad taste in my mouth, Tim Tebow, wasn't as well liked. I wouldn't say well liked. Well liked in the locker room as most people, especially in media, think he was. So,
if I had the choice between the Ringling Brothers, Bonham and Bailey Circus, and the New York Jet Circus, plucking my money down on the New York Jet Circus every time.
No, that's
very,
why.
Very entertaining TV.
That's why I have moved on, and let me put it this way, and I hate to be harping on this week after week, but one of the guys I work with dared me. He says, "I can't believe that you're not a Jet fan anymore. As much as you talked about him over the years, as much as how long you told me you've been a Jet fan, I can't believe you're not a Jet fan anymore." Says, "You got to prove to me that you are not a Jet fan." Since you told me you bought a jersey, black. You seen a photo of my jersey that?
Yes, a despicable, horrible Arian Foster Houston Texans jersey.
So he dared me to wear it tomorrow, and I will be donning the red, blue, and white of the Houston Texans tomorrow. Proudly. Andre Johnson jersey is on its way. I should be having it by Monday.
Oh, my goodness.
So I have Arian Foster and Andre Johnson, and I don't know if I'm going to get a Matt Schaub. I may get a Matt Schaub, but I'm all in on the Houston Texans. I'm telling you. You think I'm kidding you? I am dead serious. I've had it. Anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen, we think the old man has bumped his head. I think once the knot goes down, he'll be back to being a Jets fan. It's just a matter of time.
It's not going to happen. I've moved on. You guys don't know me. When I move on from something, when I've not got my mind made up, I'm out. Plain and simple, I'm out. So we got about 5 minutes in the show. We talked about that. Demaryius Thomas, we talked about that. Oh, I want to talk about this. Now, this is just a short little article I got. But everybody's talking about it's a passing game. It's a passing game. It's a passing league. Pass-happy era, hitting running backs, linebackers where it hurts. So you get Matt Forte, he's not going to sign his tender. You get Ray Rice, he's not going to sign his tender because they're getting shortchanged because they're running backs. And since it's supposedly a pass-happy league, running backs and linebackers are getting the short end of the stick. Well, Jeff Fisher, I let me put it this way. If you're on a Jeff Fisher team and you're a running back, you go kiss your coach because Jeff Fisher says this. He says, "I haven't devalued the running back position." That's a quote. You're talking to the wrong person. I want as many of them on the roster as you can get. Jeff Fisher, old school, just like I am, running back is the first thing I think about when I start my offense, other than the quarterback. Jeff Fisher loves a running back. So if you are on the Rams and you're a running back, or you may be Trent Richardson in the number six position, you may be a Ram when the Rams come up to draft, because I think Jeff Fisher is probably going to be taking a running back to back up the overused, overworked Steven Jackson.
You think Trent Richardson is six, though?
Excuse me?
I still think that's too high.
Well, who, for Richardson?
Yeah.
Well, in my opinion.
Top six?
Well, let me put it this way. If he's not taken by the Rams, I can see some other teams that may be taking him, and I can't think of who's what the draft order right in front of me right is that would be taking him. So Trent Richardson can be a top 10 player. I mean, he supposedly so-called experts consider him a one of the top athlete in the draft. So, but because supposedly the running back position is devalued, everyone thinks that you don't take a running back in the top 10 or top 5 picks. I beg to differ in that, but it's all according to the need of the team. The team thinks it needs a top flight running back, and he's sitting there, and you have an opportunity to take him versus taking a running back in the second or third round or whatever, which is going to be a lower-tier running back. I think I would jump and take Trent Richardson because I think he's going to be a stud running back. But that's just my opinion. What do you think about that, Jeff?
Like we were saying before, the running back position's been devalued a little bit in the NFL, and I like Black's point. I think there's a chance if the Rams really like Richardson that much, they could trade down, still get him, and maybe fill some other needs in the process. So,
exactly.
But I'll tell you, but St. Louis has needed somebody besides Steven Jackson for years. Because the backups for him are lousy. And you know, if you play fantasy, usually you like the backup of a guy like Jackson who's good but's going to miss a few games every year. The guys they put in stink. They got to get somebody else there.
Right. All right, guys. It's about a minute left of the show. I want to thank you guys being here tonight. Black, we'll see what happens. Between this week and next week on your Nationals. Tune in next week, guys and gals, whoever's been listening. The FSP Crew Show will be back again, starting at 8 o'clock as always on Saturday. The FSP Show is hosted by Vic Gardner, co-hosted by myself and also Black the Bookie. And maybe Jeff will be showing up. We're supposed to be doing a mock draft starting this Saturday and also going into the next three shows, which will be Saturday, next Thursday, and the following Saturday.
Next Thursday, we could also have a special guest.
Okay.
Next Thursday.
Okay. No problem. And also on the Sunday, Sunday. We're going to be running over a little bit Sunday. We'll be the master plan at 10 o'clock, 11. That's hosted by me, myself, and I. We'll be talking about a whole bunch of things, and we're going to be talking about this Jalen Rose and Skip Bayless feud, for one. And then Compassion Dakini, she's back. Kim Fun is back, and she's going strong. I've seen a lot of listeners been listening to her, especially in the archives. So she's always has some very good, interesting shows, a different take on what we do. So all four of those shows got a different taste of a lot of different things going on. Anyway, it's been real. You guys go to Black first, and then Jeff for any closing remarks.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, next week we could have a special guest. And for my locals, I am working on Craig Salmon for his return appearance to the show. So you stay tuned for that also.
It's been a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to next week. I'll catch you all then.
Okay, guys, and as always, you've been listening to...
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew.
Yeah,
yeah,
come on.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.